Hello and welcome to the Happy Hour. I'm your host, Tony Yang, and today, just today, we don't have Alex Cortez with us, but we do have my usual compatriot, Clark Price. How are you doing today, Clark?
I am really sick, but I'm fine. I'm of sound mind. Here's the deal. When you go to the NAMM show, you come away with what they call NAMMthrax. And you're really sick for a while. And usually I get it by putting on headphones and using equipment. But my rule was no headphones. So it was just in the air. So that was like a week or so ago, and it's pretty much time for me to, it's probably going to heal soon, hopefully. Anyway, it's miserable.
I'm sorry you're feeling so miserable about that, but you can ask the newly confirmed
I know where you're going.
Right. Yes. HHS Secretary, okay. Health and Human Services Secretary.
Good one.
Robert good F. Kennedy Jr., about your possible NAMMthrax.
Yeah.
Which is fictitious. Let's be clear.
Yeah. So it's a made up name. There is nothing called NAMMthrax, really. Yeah. RFK Jr. confirmed today. The worst, this is called a cacistocracy, which it means government by the worst. And Trump has filled up his cabinet with ne'er-do-wells and sleaze bags. And the other night I was thinking, what's the through line here? These are people of all people of poor moral character, and their intellectual standing isn't good. And they have in a number of cases really horrific incidents in their past. Let's take Robert F. Kennedy Jr. 15 years. By the way, I've spoken to him twice, once in a very long conversation, in which he told me, and this is before I knew anything about his heroin usage. He said to me, I asked him, what's wrong with your voice? And he said, I said, you didn't have that voice last time we spoke. And he said, I was a heroin addict for 15 years. And I had a heroin emergency. I overdosed and they intubated me. And that's what caused this. Well, spasmodic dysphonia is a neurological, not mechanical, not as a result of trauma, but he was traumatically intubated and that's what caused it. But the thing is, it usually people get better, but in a couple cases they don't. Anyway, that's what he thinks caused it. That's what I can say definitively, that he was a heroin addict and he overdosed. Who else overdosed? Well, his brother did, after he got him hooked on heroin. So he's a delightful fellow. And there are more stories than that.
Well, it begs a question. Why were you interviewing him?
Was interviewing him because he got a degree in law, and he was an environmental activist attorney, and he wrote a book on the group he had, his anti-pollution group, called the River Keepers.
Yeah.
And so I was interviewing him about that organization. And the conversations I had with him about his heroin usage were off the record. And so that was after the interview, and we'd had a great conversation. I mean, we were really both into it. It was really engaging. And then I said, hey, what's up with your voice? And that's when he told me that story. And by the way, I mentioned that he got his brother hooked on heroin and he overdosed also, but he didn't have anybody there to intubate him, because when you overdose, it shuts down your central nervous system and your breathing, the autonomic reflexes shut down. And that's why you have to be intubated to have air forced into you to oxygenate your lungs. And that's did not happen for his brother. And so he died. And his wife committed suicide. And he has apparently made money by peddling these conspiracy theories about vaccines. And by the way, in that conversation that I had with him, he mentioned for the first time that MMR vaccines, this was back in the 90s, but he mentioned that MMR vaccines were causing autism, and that was based on a study that was deemed as inaccurate and non-factual, and it was withdrawn. So what it did was, it was out there for a while. It got into his head that vaccines cause autism. It was withdrawn by the author and the publisher because it was filled with errors, and the conclusions were wrong in there, or they couldn't stand behind them with confidence. But he's based much of the rest of his life on this mistake. And so he went off on a tear on anti-vaccine stuff. Little did I know, you can create organizations that peddle this kind of conspiracy medicine nonsense, bad medicine, which he practiced bad medicine in American Samoa when he was like, you people should stop taking measles vaccines because they're bad for you. And what happened? People died. A bunch of people died because of his stupid ideas. He's not a medical doctor. He is filled with quackery and nonsense. And now he's the top health official in the United States of America because of the wisdom, I'm putting that in quotes, of Donald Trump.
Right.
And Donald Trump has now created the worst cabinet of a freak show. I won't go to it's the Star Wars bar scene. No, that's such a cliche. But it is a wackadoodle, lunatic bunch of grifters. And I'm going to now answer what I said. What is the through line here? Grifters recognize grifters.
Right.
And this is a commonality that they have. It's like, you're playing the game, I'm playing the game, let's play the game together, okay? That's what's happening here.
The problem is, like, there are real life consequences to these grifts. It's not just cash.
And real, you should say, real death consequences.
Oh, no, it's already It's already happening, right?
I saw a joke, like, parody today, an Onion parody. I think it said, the American Association of Funeral Directors is cheering the appointment of RFK Jr. Yeah.
having known actual funerary directors and actual people who work in embalming and working in that industry, they are not really. They are actually very sad. They're very somber people.
Oh, of course. But but that was I said it was an Onion parody. Yeah. Again, I'll say it. But it was funny because it's like, oh, our business is going to go way up.
Yeah.
But the truth is that medicine has accomplished. I mean, I'm living right now because of modern medicine. And I don't know, maybe you are as well. But I mean, look at what's happened look at the horrible.
Well, I survived. More to the point of that MMR vaccine, most of us survived childhood because of those vaccines.
Clark. Well, go back and look at the history of mankind and disease, the plague.
Right.
It is not accidental that people are living longer and living higher quality lives and that we have conquered some of these primary diseases like smallpox and all of the
measles.
The childhood. Sorry?
Measles. There's a huge outbreak in West Texas. Oh.
Yeah, because of the lack of vaccine.
Yeah.
And
the most highly contagious virus known to man.
So now we have, and I don't mind saying this, I don't feel any regret in characterizing him negatively, an idiot. And a grifter running medicine in the United States. And this is a bit of an odd one. It's like Trump wants to create havoc, wants to create harm, because you could put in any standard, you know, guy with an MD in there, and they would do a better job than RFK Jr. So why is he doing this? One thing I thought is about the odd presence of the Kennedy name in the QAnon lunatic theory.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like JFK is still alive and JFK Jr. is still alive. And look, I've got a Kennedy who's actually blood related to those people who are celebrities to the idiots who believe QAnon.
Right.
Which, by the way, was written by, there was two, one guy was writing the Q drops out of New Zealand, and I don't remember his name. And then then there were two guys, Jim and Ron Watkins.
The pig farmers.
Yes, out of the Philippines, who were doing it. Ron Watkins got so much into... Ron Watkins squeezed out the guy in New Zealand and took over the QAnon thing completely. And then it was like, wow, it's so easy to manipulate these people. Why don't I go from fantasy QAnon into reality, the United States Congress? And he ran for Congress in Arizona. I think it was Arizona or New Mexico. And he didn't do well because Ron Watkins is like an incel nerd who can't function in the real world. And so when he actually is on the dais and it's like, okay, let's hear from candidate Ron Watkins. He gets up and he is speaking is like, ooh, oh, I guess this guy is just kind of a weird creep. Why is he actually running for Congress?
Yeah.
Because he can. That's why. And I think he thought he would sail to the presidency going from the secret, the guy behind the Wizard of Oz curtain of QAnon to actually some high status in the United States government. Didn't work. You got to be a better con artist. You got to have game like Trump. Yeah, and so grifters recognize grifters, but not all grifters are good at grifting.
No,
that's what you got to know about that.
No,
but Robert F. Kennedy has. If you want to know everything there is to know about Robert F. Kennedy, because I know a thing or two about him, That statement that Carolyn Kennedy put out, that recorded that video statement, she nails him. She says he's a predator, that he's cruel, that he's mendacious. She didn't hold back. And I noticed he didn't sue her. He didn't sue her for defamation.
Yeah.
Because you know why? Because when you sue somebody, there's something called discovery, And you can go, it would have just gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. Well, but the thing is, here's how Trump covers everything. It's all a conspiracy. Everything that they say about me is false, and it's a vast conspiracy. When I say something, it's true.
Yeah.
And nobody lies more than Donald Trump. It's amazing that he gets through to so many people, including, I know an intelligent person, and I said, hey, the Washington Post documented 32,000 plus material lies. I mean, not like, oh, just casual, who cares lies, but material lies about important things. They document what he said, they quote it, and then they take it apart and they say, this is a lie. And they're obviously lies. Anyway, this guy just laughs in my face and says, that can't be true. He is a respectable businessman.
Right.
This is an educated person at the University of California, Riverside, who said that. And it's not like some yokel. And I like him. This is the weird thing. So he's in a lot of people's heads. I think the thing is that once, and I'm sure you agree with this, once you see through Donald Trump, once you see that him for who he is, you can't unsee it. It's like the veil is lifted and the game doesn't work.
Well, it's you enter an information ecosystem. Yeah. I mean, and there's just nothing outside. It's why I'm about ready to get off of X. I've probably stayed longer than a lot of people.
Yeah, I checked it out today, and
it
is a cesspool.
I don't know about you, Clark, but have you? Maybe it's because I've been like on political Twitter, but like, I have slowly been raging over the last week because now I'm getting everything from Elon. And I'm like, that's not why I'm on here.
Oh, there's the contrivance of like use it. Yeah. Yeah. He bought that because that was his plan to use it as propaganda. But I just go on there and I think it's so sleazy and such a cesspool of venom and BS. And here's my problem though. When I go over to Blue Sky and I have an account on Blue, everybody's like, go to Blue Sky.
Yeah.
Because that's where the good people are. And it's not a cesspool. It's not a cesspool, but I don't really get into fights over there. And it's just it's so calm. And it's just very nice. Everybody's very nice. And here's some information and so on. So I have to say,
I find more thoughtful posts on Blue Sky. Here, read this. Mark Cuban, even though I don't identify with billionaires, I at least want to listen to Mark Cuban, you know, because like, you know, there are some thoughts there that might be helpful, you know, those sort
of things. By the way, you mentioned Mark Cuban, and I'm thinking this is where we are, isn't it? It's like,
yeah,
we can't have it can't be like a normal person is like, you're our hope, Mark Tucano or whomever, like, you know, you're a former teacher and you've got to live a life of service, and we like you and we want to put you out there. No, it's like, we need a billionaire to fight a billionaire. Clark, so Mark Cuban's
doing, Clark, what are we doing to people who want to live a life of service? We're about to get rid of their jobs in the federal government.
I know.
Apparently everybody's okay with that.
I know. But the point I'm making is that we have now not looking for, you know, another Lincoln.
Yeah.
We're looking for another. Maybe the good way to put it is like we're looking for somebody who can be the 21st century FDR. Somebody who's like going to be a class traitor, which is what FDR was accused of.
Yeah.
And it's like it's like these people with money. Money is a weapon and money is also a shield.
Right.
So that's unfortunately where we are. But I think I think
we lost you there for a second, Clark. You want to start over? You were
thinking, yeah, okay.
Let's go.
What I'm saying is the cup is half empty.
Right.
And we have lost our democracy. And you may say it's not quite lost yet, and I know why. It's because he hasn't ignored a court order yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's setting that up. And he has all of the talking heads, all of his, you know, here's what the Republican Party is. The Republican Party is a Trojan horse that a parasite used to get into, to be taken seriously and get into the presidency. The Republican Party, I think, I mean, it died at least three times. The first time was in the Ford Theater when Abraham Lincoln was assassinated. The second time would be Richard Nixon. By the way, I think Eisenhower was the best Republican president. And then the third time would be when George W. Bush, who now a lot of people think at least he's not Donald Trump. And so he was the previous worst president in American history. And now he's on the side of the good guys fighting against Donald Trump. But anyway, so it died three times.
There's a fourth time. It died in 1933 with the election of FDR. They really died that year.
Well, no, that's that it may have lost, but that wasn't like they died morally or they died spiritually. That's what I'm talking about.
They did. Big business was gone. Labor unions that they fought against for 50 years came to power. You know.
Well, okay, because of the consequences of the Republican Party tied to the Great Depression.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Okay, that's a viable case.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but anyway, so
they were also, because of who Herbert Hoover was, of a very huge isolationist and pacifist Quaker, which in another time probably would have actually been fine in the face of what was to come, look terrible with that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, but you concur with my idea that it was just an empty husk of grifters. And, I would say Christo-fascists and so, you know, prayer breakfast and blah, blah, blah.
Well, I would say crypto-fascists now.
Christo and crypto-fascists.
Right.
And so that's. It was like another bizarre, you could say Star Wars, that blah. Anyway, it's like, oh, Kmart's gone out of business. Why don't we buy it? Why don't we buy Kmart and say, we're the new Kmart? And so the Republican Party under Trump was a ruined husk. A bankrupt Kmart, and Trump went in there and he came down the escalator and then he dropped the thing that fascists do. He demonized a minority that couldn't fight back. And he went after them and he generated hatred. He sold hatred and he used hatred as a wedge. And he demonized minorities, and it's always people that can't fight back. And you're looking around and you say, I'm going to claim the flag because that's popular. That's the majority. I'm going to claim Christianity. I am the chosen one. Why? Because we're a Christian country.
Right.
You claim the tools of the majority in order to beat up the minority. And because with majority votes, you're going to win. and you can make the minorities look bad and engender, you can, hatred is an energy.
Yeah.
And you build up that hatred, and he's good at it. There's a word, I heard somebody say, nobody can, I'm going to say a word that starts with S that's improper to say on the air, but it's a four-letter word, and it's the at S word, that's the S talk. Trump is a better S talker than anyone else in the United States. I think that's pretty, it's pretty right. Maybe there are some comedians, some insult comics that can do it better, but nobody generates hate. Nobody denigrates. And he just turns, he's a machine. He says it over and over and over. And so it's the repetition.
I think that's why Joe Rogan likes him.
Yeah, I will. That's probably why I don't like Joe Rogan. But he's really good at being really bad. Also, notice that when he was first president, it was chaos every day.
Oh, yeah.
Chaos in everything. And also shady stuff. Everything's really shady that he's doing. And he's...
Elon's boys, you know, five guys.
Well, wait a minute. And then he's back in the presidency. It's immediately goes from Biden boring. And by the way, I want you to tell me, don't go to your Biden bashing. Go ahead and tell me that so I don't.
Oh, no. You can go to your Biden bashing.
Ah, okay. I
just think we need to be productive.
I'm very critical of Biden. Yeah. But Biden was not a crook.
No.
I mean, maybe Hunter Biden was a bit sleazy here and there. But Biden, come on. Biden was not a crook.
Biden's crimes are, you know...
Biden's crimes are he didn't prosecute the criminals.
Right.
That's what the crime is, if that's a crime. But the day that Trump comes in, it's immediately sleazy. He's got that press secretary who's like some kind of ridiculous caricature of a, like, all smiles but just spewing poison. And is very much like, you know, who's not a typical Trump person is his chief of staff.
Yes.
Not a typical. She seems to have her head screwed on, but she's presiding over an absolute maniacal criminal circus of disorder and corruption. And by the way, if you didn't think they were crooked, let me just tell you something they just did. They want to, they have proposed to increase the debt limit by $4 trillion. Do you know what that means? They're going to run up the Republicans. It's weird how the Democrats are the ones who are conservative. They're the ones who are fiscally conservative.
This has actually been since the Bush administration. I want to be clear about that, because the Bush administration drove up the national debt fighting the war in Iraq and Afghanistan. Since the early 2000s,
well,
Democrats have been the party of fiscal responsibility.
You're saying fighting the war.
Yeah.
They created the war in order for them to waste a whole bunch of money.
Yeah.
And give money what was that?
Halliburton.
Wasn't there another company?
It was Halliburton, Blackwater.
All the
conglomerate that were linked to Dick Cheney.
Yeah. Well, now they want to increase the debt limit. Whereas whenever there is a Democratic thing, the Republicans are all, you can't increase the debt limit. And they have a whole drama where we can't continue to operate the government because they won't increase the debt limit. And now they're like, under a Republican administration, running the debt limit up to $4 trillion. And next year, they're going to have to run it up trillions more because the previous tax cut that Trump did is expiring.
Right.
So the Trump everything, like I said earlier, the Republican Party is a fake, a husk in which a bunch of grifters and parasites live under this like idea of the Republican Party is some kind of legitimate thing with a governing philosophy and all of this stuff dating back to Lincoln. Screw that idiocy. This is a clown show of utter criminality. And so they're going to steal $4 trillion from the American people who are going to pay this bill. And they're going to try to keep it secret. It's like they're going to take it from people that maybe you won't notice.
I don't think they're going to be able to do that. They're going to just literally take it from people.
It's too big.
It's too big. Yeah, the tax cut is apparently not big enough. They're like, we need $2 trillion.
They're going after Medicaid.
There's no way for you to cut that much out of the federal budget without going to Medicaid. Right. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, eggs are $10 a carton.
Oh,
gas is above five.
Now he's like,
gas is $5 again.
Now Trump, he's like blaming Biden for eggs and groceries and all this stuff. Now they're going up much higher, and he's like, "Hey, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? This is the way it works. The prices go up and they go down.
You're going to be able to stop that bird flu a whole lot better now that you don't have an FDA. Now that you don't have Health and Human Services out there doing disease monitoring. Well, you could do a better job of bringing down the prices of eggs with that.
Well, it's an easy prediction that something really horrible is going to happen. This presidency will have enormous catastrophes that take place. And then who is he going to blame? The Marxists? I just saw a thing on Twitter today where this awful Senator Bill Lee of Utah, who is a sickening person who's advocated cutting Social Security, eliminating it. And then when he was charged with that on the Senate floor, he looked around like, who, me? This is ridiculous. I've never done anything like that. And then they cut right to him doing that. But today he said, like, our country has been run by Marxists for years. Is it too late to correct course? Okay. I don't think you could find a Marxist. I mean, a legitimate Marxist. they don't exist. There is no one runs around and say, hey, I'm Bob. I'm a Marxist. Nobody does this. It's a dead movement, completely dead. I think I know of a Marxist economist in Amherst, Massachusetts.
Well, that would be where they are. UMass Amherst is, you know.
Maybe.
No, there's actually a tradition there, but.
Yeah, I know. That's a different story. I know of, I used to know one of them. And this Marxist lives in a mansion. So this. So he's not. He's not a Marxist. Anyway, that's what Bill Lee said. And this is the kind of idiocy that they put out there. And people that don't know a Marxist from a hole in the ground go, I guess that's right. Well, here's the deal. There are no Marxists, but there are fascists. And when I was looking at that picture of Bill Lee, I was looking at one. And that's what they do. They create a bogeyman like Marxists so you don't notice that they're instituting fascism. And I have a feeling, and here you're the historian, that fascists have killed a lot more people than Marxists have.
I don't know.
And now they're, I mean, well, millions under Hitler and so many, many millions. And then, but, you know, you can't get killed by a Marxist that doesn't exist.
But I think that's fascism, more to the point.
Fascism is rising. And fascism is what Trump is all about.
I mean, there were legitimate Marxist issues, you know.
Okay, but let me just say, fascism, what is fascism? It's basically when a criminal organization, a criminal supporting organization takes over a government. And I have never seen anyone who would fit this paradigm more than Donald Trump, because you could take a mob boss and drop a mob boss like the Frank Gambino into the presidency, and they would act just the same way that Donald Trump does. How would they change anything?
Right.
Put your cronies in all of the positions. It's not about their ability to serve the people. It's about their loyalty to you. And these people like Cash Patel, I don't think Cash Patel could hold a legitimate job. I don't think he's qualified to do anything other than be a criminal associate of a criminal. And in his case, he's doing what? Do you know? He's head of the FBI.
Right.
He's doing the law enforcement. Do you think that if a crime boss were able to put in one of his associates over law enforcement, that he would or would not do that?
Well,
he, of course, would do that.
And not only that, they want to remove almost the entire agency and refill it with their own appointees, right? I mean, there's this whole aspect of like, we're going to replace the government with our cronies, which is...
And so all through the Biden administration, which I think failed utterly to recognize the threat of Donald Trump, all through the Biden administration, they're talking about the Republicans are accusing them of weaponizing the Justice Department, which they had not done. They were operating it within integrity. So since everything is confession and projection, or projection,
it's all projection.
All projection. So they are actually weaponizing the law enforcement by putting a Confederate sleazy dude, a grifter, in as head of the FBI. So, and then also Pam Bondi, the new sleazy grifter attorney general, has said that she's going to go after Trump's political opponents and critics.
Right.
And that investigating them was fair game. She actually graduated from a legit law school, and she said that. Who does that?
Right. It's not
grifters
what we do.
Grifters recognize grifters.
Well, and politics is a very grifty sort of occupation in general.
I think it can be done quite honorably. By saying that, you're saying a pox on all their houses. I think Sheldon Whitehouse is a completely honorable person. Mm-hmm. And it would be hard to find a Democrat who isn't much more honorable than not, except for maybe Eric Adams and Bob Menendez.
Right.
You know, people like that who are on the take. And Eric Adams made a deal with Trump, obviously. And so the case against him for his obvious corruption is dropped, or they're trying to drop it. And then the attorneys working on the case for the Justice Department resigned. Five of them resigned today. And they did that because they were being asked to participate in corruption.
Right.
That's who Donald Trump is. And this stuff is going to come home to every American. We will all be affected by this tsunami of of filth and slime that Trump issues forth every day. And in his first presidency, he actually was like, put competent people in the positions. That's not happening this time.
It's like he tried the competent thing and it didn't work.
Yeah, he tried that and they all came out afterwards and said, do not reelect him because we worked with him and we can tell you that he's really awful.
And then people are like, oh yeah, we'll work with him. I'm like, I don't know.
You did a thing where your office listed all of his executive orders.
Yeah.
And you showed that to me before we started talking. And it is astounding.
Well, not so many the amount of executive orders, but the executive orders themselves. Yeah.
Here's one of his profound orders. We're not going to have any more paper straws. Let it be known through my executive order that we will only have plastic straws.
Right.
That reminds me of the Woody Allen film Bananas, where it's got a number of vignettes, and in one of them he's fighting in a jungle setting for a rebel like Fidel Castro to take down the corrupt government, and he's filled with hope and promise and rectitude, and everyone's thinking he's going to really do it. This guy's really going to be. So they finally take down the corrupt regime, and the new guy gets up, and he does this speech. When he says, as of today, everyone who is under the age of 16 is now 16. We are going to change underwear. Everyone in the country will change their underwear every half hour. And they're going to wear it on the outside so we can check. And then Woody Allen turns to someone in the audience and says, he's gone insane. That's
that's what's going to happen.
That's what it feels like now.
Yeah.
But Trump is insane, except criminally insane.
Right. I mean, just the name of some of these like executive orders, protecting people over fish, sending more water to Southern California.
Oh, that was a total fiasco. The water thing,
the 2 billion gallons.
He harmed California. He did not help with fires,
and he hurt his constituents. Those were his constituents.
He harmed farmers by without coordinating or finding out. He just dumps all of his water out, which is meant to water the crops later, not now, later, and it doesn't go down to Southern California. So he just dumped it into the sea.
Right. And then we have what was this? Making aviation safe. I don't think aviation is safer since his executive order came out.
Oh yeah, since you fired the traffic controllers.
You know, let's see. Some of these other ones here. One that I was involved with that I had to respond to, enforcing the Hyde Amendment, the Iron Dome for America. I'm like, really? Let's see what else here. Well, of course, the big ones are all tariffs, which.
Oh, we haven't even talked about the tariffs.
The tariffs are making things more expensive. They've gotten.
Why don't you take that one?
Well, no, the tariffs are, first of all, I want to, and for anyone who's listening, please understand, tariffs are taxes to consumers that consumers pay for. They are paid at the point of at the port of entry on goods that are bought from overseas and imported into the United States. So that means you are paying for them in higher prices, even though you don't see the tax on the on your receipt.
But let me interrupt. Trump is putting it out there like a tariff is what another country pays in order to sell their goods to the United States, and it doesn't affect the cost to American citizens, which is completely stupid and wrong.
It's called Target has to buy it for 10%. When Target buys something, it has to pay a 10% tax. Guess who has to pay that 10% tax after Target buys something and wants to sell it?
It contributes directly to inflation.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't change the underlying cost of a product. It in fact just creates more of that. And the jobs that these are intended to save, which are manufacturing jobs, is not, we can't exactly spin up industries overnight to make products equivalent to what you find on Temu or Alibaba, some of these cut rate, really cheap products that Americans want and buy. We can't make TVs. We don't make TVs in this country anymore, except for, I think, actually a Chinese subsidiary making televisions in Ontario. But it just means you're going to have to bear the cost. There is no perfect substitute. Unlike vehicles, where you could probably say, well, you know, you can buy American. But even with vehicles, it's insane because vehicles go back and forth across the Mexican and Canadian border multiple times. So there are potentially impacts where you're paying five or six times in the manufacturing process of that car if you're not careful. And so tariffs are a blunt instrument, and they are best used in very targeted things. Maybe steel and aluminum. Yeah, I get that. We need to have a defense industry. We need to keep some of our heavy industries going. But when you use them as bluntly as Trump is using them across all goods.
Well, I think when you say blunt, that's blunt objects can have a utility, but Trump is using them in complete ignorance in a manner which can only harm the American people, unless he thinks, okay, we have to put these tariffs in and so that the prices will go way up, which will force domestic people to make new factories so that we're going to build things here. There'll be jobs for Americans and the prices will be lower than they would be because of the tariffs that it could be that he's thinking that, and he probably is thinking that.
He is thinking that, but that never works. But
that won't happen for overnight. That'll take a decade or more, and it probably won't even work. It's an insane idea.
No,
it's not going to work.
It is utterly insane, and you're going to put that on the back of American consumers who are already stretched and already had to deal with
about 3 years of inflation. And who will retaliate with rage? That's what will happen.
Well, and that's why the American people, if you take a look at the polls, even now and even due to the election, inflation does very strange things to politics and political bodies and political leadership. That's why you never want to have inflation. Bad things happen.
Because by strange, you mean it makes people angry and they lose. Politicians responsible.
And they make the political system inherently unstable, right? We're not Weimar Germany where inflation is 34-35%. But Americans at 8 or 9, 10% inflation, you know, 5, 6, 7% inflation have buckled before.
With these tariffs, Trump could easily create 10% inflation easily.
Yeah. And that's just with tariffs, Clark. Let's not forget about what happens with this bird flu that's happening
right now. Or you could go back to Smoot Hawley and tell him what happened with Smoot Hawley, the tariffs that led to the Great Depression.
It didn't help. And that was a time when economic contraction. So everybody just jacked up tariffs even more, which made global trade collapse. Right. And, you know, tariffs are absolutely terrible on one hand. And then we have other sort of supply chain and macroeconomic issues right now. Think about this, the bird flu virus that's been going on and suppressing chicken egg production right now. Not having the Food and Drug Administration, not having a government apparatus to protect the food supply, to make sure that people have ready, sustainable access and that the industries are properly backed up, the industry is properly insured, right? What could that do to commodity prices? What could that do to food? Inflation on, I mean, we've been complaining about inflation about housing. We've been complaining about inflation about some necessities, colleges, those sort of things. But Clark, what happens if there's like 8, 9, and we're starting to see it, groceries at about 4 or 5%? That's not good. When people start having difficulty buying food, Clark, what does that do to an economy? What does that do to the political order? It's not good. And job one of any political leader is to make sure the people are fed in some reasonable and just way. And I think there's a real possibility that some things here will become very unstable because you'll have shrunk the government beyond its capacity to react to any sort of huge disruption. And you're limiting any help that can kind of come in, you know? And so,
we haven't, I mean, Trump's doing all these horrible things. But I think one of the worst things is not we haven't mentioned, and that is bring Elon Musk in and let him go on a rampage. Elon Musk is an avatar of this ridiculous, I think his name is Curtis Yarbens, who is the author of this, what he calls the Dark Enlightenment. And this is a technological fascism that he wants to institute where the president of the United States becomes a dictator and what he likens to a, this may sound crazy to people, but you need to read this, look up what's his name, Bill, I think Durham, Bill Durham's writings on this are definitive, but he wants to turn, and so then Elon Musk would be like a CEO, so Trump would be chairman of the board and a dictator, and then Musk is a CEO, and with a computer monitoring, he's controlling all of the aspects of the of the industry and commerce and people's private lives. And that's why he's digitizing. He's getting copies of all of the records with all of these team of tech, of young tech engineers that he's taking to all of the departments of government. This is completely insane because it's Congress that does the allocations.
Right.
It's Congress that created the Department of Education. It cannot be destroyed by executive order. This is not how democracy works. They're attempting to steal democracy from the American people while saying they're trying to save it.
Right.
So this, I mean, we've spoken about the madness of Trump and the grifting and all of this. I think the worst part of it is Musk. If Musk were not involved, this wouldn't be as dangerous. But with him involved, it is.
Well, I mean, it's kind of my joke, Clark, of the day, which was like, you know, people are asking me how I'm feeling. I'm like, maybe I need some ketamine therapy. You know, I mean,
oh, that's, well, you should explain why that's. Because Musk is a guy that does ketamine a lot.
Yeah, to help sleep. So. I mean, like, but I think the thing about it is this is all the information, the manipulation, And they view people not in humanistic terms, but as commodities. I mean, I think Elon views his children as simply as a commodity. My genes,
oh, props. It looks like they're props.
My
to humanize him.
And I think, you know, you can kind of correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not so sure Donald Trump doesn't think of his children in a similar fashion. You know?
It seems like his kids, I don't think he'd want to hang out with them.
Yeah. But I mean, my point is like, I think these are people, even if you believe in the sort of, Christo fascist sort of thing of like, oh, you know, we need to protect our families and our children. These are people who are very removed with some form of psychopathy from the rest of humanity. And even of their children.
Well, I think that's this is your non-professional look at it.
Yes.
But they do seem to be
more detached, you know.
Well, so you've got Ivanka and Jared. Jared, who several years ago was the first time I saw him saying, "There's some great beachfront property in Gaza."
Well, we haven't even talked about Trump Riviera. Yeah.
I mean, it's just a giant explosion of sleaze and madness and grifting and corruption.
I'm going to end us there and move quickly to our one good thing.
Are we there?
Yeah, now? We're there. I mean, there's so much grift. There's just too much that we're going to have to keep addressing. My one good thing is it's not that great of a movie, but it was a great it is going to be a great distraction. I'm going to go see Captain America, the new Captain America movie, Brave New World, which probably reflects some of the world that we live in right now. How about you, Clark? What's your one good thing?
I don't think I'll be seeing that, but
you shouldn't. It could be bad.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So the one possibly good thing is how you should have said it. But I'm going to say that the one good thing is that for the most of my life, I got to live in a true democracy. And I came to really love and appreciate the fact that the founders of the United States created this country with a vision of an egalitarian vision. And they, in a revolutionary act, threw off a mad king. And I'm very glad that I got to live in that country, because for the most of the history of mankind on this planet, it's been under circumstances that were grueling and awful. And it's unfortunate that we are now in a counter-revolution where a mad king has been reinstalled over America.
Yeah.
And I hope we get rid of him and get back to being a democracy. And then that would be another good thing.
Well, with that, we're all out of time. I want to thank you for listening. Tune in next time for more of the Happy Hour. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye-bye.